It is February 3rd, 2026, and this is the City of Iowa City Work Session. I'm going to call it to order. And the first item is the University of Iowa Student Government Updates, USG. Welcome.
Hi. Okay, hello. So first on our agenda, currently we have our Director of Student Services, who is in the current stages of a program that would coincide with with the lease gap, essentially to work and make the storage units in Iowa City more affordable for our students, because that is in high demand during that time. We also have some senators working on an initiative to revamp the bike repair stations downtown in Iowa City, also along our campus, just to encourage alternate transportation.
Great.
Yeah, and then also some bigger announcements. We've got Dance Marathon happening this weekend. I'm sure you guys all know what Dance Marathon is, but it's a fundraiser we do every year, specifically for childhood cancer. And we will have some USG representatives because we do give a big donation to them every year. I can't remember off the top of my head how much it is, but it's a couple $1,000. And then also our town hall is next week. I apologize again for the late notice. We had some scheduling issues on our side, but we have given all of our senators a cheat sheet and presentation like we did last year. So hopefully they'll come with some really good informed questions for you all. And we look forward to it. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. We're going to move on to item number 2, clarification of agenda items. Going to move on to item number 3, information packet discussion, January 22nd.
Just like to say thanks for the Housing Authority strategic plan. It represents a ton of work and is really helpful to sort of put a lot of the work session topics into one document. So thank you for your work on that.
I was going to flag that as well, and just a question for staff, if we have any thoughts yet on how to kind of publicly present this journey that we're going on as a city. And just, you know, I think this document is a great example of something that's really digestible and probably would be of interest to the public, just as we're, you know, just to put that idea out there of making this public facing and easily accessible.
Yeah, it's a good, great point. It's definitely on our list. We're currently working to try to secure an intern for the summer to work on just that project, kind of that branding and that storytelling.
Oh, cool. Cool. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll move on to January 29th. Some of that will probably come up in our next agenda item. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on to item number 4, fiscal year 2027 budget discussion. And I'll turn it over to our city manager just to kind of get us started.
Yeah, just a quick introduction. So on page 61 of your information packet on the 29th there's a memo from Kirk Lehman, assistant city manager, that just tried to encapsulate conversation at the end of our Saturday budget meeting on January 24th. It sounded like most of your follow-up budget discussions, if not all, were going to focus on local option sales tax and the staff's recommendations on how to expend those dollars. So we've listed the topics that were mentioned at that work session that you'd like to follow up on. We're happy to provide some support for that discussion if it would be helpful. The only thing that we've really prepared at your request was a deeper dive into the arts and culture endowment recommendation. So at some point tonight, if you would like, we've got a slide deck of about 8 or 9 slides, I think, that give you a deeper dive into the thought process there and how that would work. We also have Shelley Meharry here from the Community Foundation, who can answer any questions about endowments that would be stewarded at that location.
It might be helpful just to go ahead with the presentation for the arts and culture, just so that the council can get that review.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Agreed.
Okay, I didn't fall. I feel better. Rachel Kilberg-Varley put this together. She's our economic development director, as you know, and is really the mastermind behind this proposal. Unfortunately, Rachel caught the flu bug that is going around quite a bit here in town and is unable to join tonight. So, again, you get the B-team back up here. I'll do my best to give you this overview, though. So with our arts and culture funding, remember, we're talking about the partnership piece of the lost recommendation. And really want to talk about some of the reasons that led to this recommendation. What are those driving factors? So first of all, we've had status quo funding for our arts organizations for several years. And you've heard that concern from all of those arts organizations. It's not just our budgets that are being challenged these last few years. Every organization, every household has budget challenges. And when we haven't been able to increase our support for those organizations, they can do less for the community. We've also had really inconsistent and unclear funding processes over time. If you look at the history of how these organizations were funded, they were usually one-off requests, meaning there wasn't a moment in time in which we put out a call to support arts and culture organizations. It was a decision in 2007 to fund this organization, in 2012 to fund this organization, and there's never really been a holistic look at how we do that or metrics and really some decisions on why we're funding them and what we hope to get out of it. And then the last piece is we've seen over the last couple of years just a really encouraging effort amongst the arts community to work together. And we're seeing more of that from fundraising together, like the Strength and Grow Evolve, to doing things like Free Week, which is upon us again. So we see a real opportunity to kind of leverage that spirit of collaboration through a shared endowment strategy. These are the goals that we shared with you last time. So we hope that what LOST will be able to unlock is increasing those long stagnant operating supports that we've been able to provide and allow those organizations to continue to meet demands from the community. We want to facilitate and encourage that collaboration, right? We know that that's a hard thing to sustain. So how can we play a role in encouraging the long-term collaboration? We all know that there's pressure in the general fund. That's been a lot of our talk about budgets the last few years. And this strategy aims to remove those arts organizations out of the general fund so they're no longer competing with those core services and they have a more stable funding source that can continue to grow despite whatever challenges we may have in that general fund. And then to partner with the community foundation to leverage the city funding and create opportunities for potentially the community to participate in a shared investment in the arts. So that's what's driving behind here. I'm going to show you this screen a couple of times. So first, I just want to kind of point out the three-pronged investment strategy here and then the three funding sources that are involved. And then we'll circle back to each of these. But from a support standpoint, what we envision is being able to fund that organizations directly. That's that middle column in the green box there, the organizational operations support. We hope to fund that endowment. And then on the left side is that Arts Alliance. And the caveat or the asterisk I need to put with the Arts Alliance is there's still some decisions being made on whether an Arts Alliance is needed and what that may look like. So we don't want to focus too much on whether it's the Arts Alliance or not. If there's a decision not to pursue an Arts Alliance, those dollars can be shifted over into the organizational support or the endowment and still get us to where we want to be. From the funding source side of things, right now we're just reliant on the general fund, which again has led to stagnant funding. So that's that middle column there. You can see our goal is to slowly draw down that general funding to eventually zero, and then rely long-term on LOST and the endowment.
Did I understand you correctly that if the Arts Alliance doesn't come into fruition, that we will still utilize this financing opportunity through the Community Foundation?
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I have a maybe related interim question, and that would be there's time and effort required in understanding distribution of funds and how the person holding or the organization holding the funds and how our organization would work with distribution. What do you imagine that time frame being, and what is the interim? Is it just in the city budget? Is it money rolling around in the city budget until we establish the actual parameters around the organization that would hold the money and the distribution of that money?
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit down the road here, but at least initially I would envision the city retain full control of this, probably for several years, right? Okay. If it gets to the point in the future where there's an established arts alliance and we have the confidence to give decision-making capabilities over to the Arts Alliance on how to distribute those funds. I think a future staff and council could figure that out. But for right now, even if we create an endowment, we would still control it, how those funds are dispersed. Okay. And we can get into that, and Shelley can help of talk about how those could be, how those constraints can work.
Have we had any updates? Because I know that they've had a few, the Arts Alliance working group, if you will, has had meetings. I've talked to some of the folks. I know there's been discussion about scope and countywide, citywide, region of the citywide. Those are some of the discussions that they were having. Have you been updated on any, or have you been updated on the status of like how people are feeling, the direction it's going?
So the last conversation I had with the arts organizations was early January. And at that time, there was, I think, a sense of optimism that there would be a path forward. But I know there were several decisions, including the scope, the geographic scope, to be worked out. And I don't know what the latest is there.
Okay. Thank you.
I think, too, being on the UNESCO board, that the sense of optimism, I think that's a fair characterization of looking at this, because that, has been an organization that has been stagnant, and the director has actually reduced, basically done a self-imposed furlough to reduce his salary by, in exchange for, days off. And so just to keep the budget, active and keep that organization flowing. And, of course, as we know, UNESCO, because it's a UN-related thing, is under a variety of different attacks. So I haven't had that meeting since this actually more details came out. But, yes, that I would just support to what the city manager was saying about a sense of optimism with this plan. So.
Cool.
So just to dive a little bit deeper into how we envision this, and this is all subject to change, right? Just like a lot of these lost recommendations, I expect you'll get some public input on it, and over time we may have to evolve this strategy. But as we're thinking about it right now, year one is really an initial 10% bump for those arts organizations that we've historically funded, and we would seed the endowment at that point, and we would potentially seed that Arts Alliance. In year two, that's when we would step back. We would provide additional direct support for those organizations, but we take a holistic look at how we're funding those. And so there may be a process in which we're establishing metrics that are agreed upon with you all, with those arts organizations, so that we can have some sort of sense that those dollars are being distributed fairly amongst the organizations. And that's when we would probably recommend that we bring in PS1 as one of those kind of core arts organizations that are working together right now. PS1 has asked for a couple years now to be included, and we've not pursued that. We would see that happening in year two under a more holistic review of our distributions. And that 3-6 period, years 3-6, that's when we're growing. That's when that endowment's growing. The alliance perhaps is getting its feet under it, and we're really focused on achieving that long-term goal of financial independence from the general fund. And then year six is our projections for when we think we can transition from the general fund, and when that draw on that endowment can start to be envisioned and take the place. We also think we can reduce some of those lost dollars. And I'll walk you through a little bit of that here with this same slide deck or same table that you saw before. So the first thing in these green boxes, you can see when we are providing the organizations more direct support. So we go from where we're at now, which is $249,000, and we would initially do a 10% increase and then follow that up with another 15% increase. So we're looking at a 25% increase in direct contributions over those first 2 years of lost. and then we project it would remain stable until that fiscal year 32 to 33, it would jump again. We see an opportunity to jump it again there. Again, depending on where the Arts Alliance goes, these numbers may shift a little bit. The next piece I would point out is on the other side, the funding source side. We just, again, flag that that 32-33 column there. And that shows you where the general fund would no longer be supporting those arts organizations. Also where our lost contribution can be brought back down. So we go from $500,000 to $350,000. And that means the city council at that time would be able to redeploy those lost funds to other community needs. And how we can do that is because that endowment that we've been investing in for those first 6 years starts to pay off as we draw off that endowment. The last piece I would note is that there is some flexibility here. So on that funding source side, which would be on the right side of the screen, you can see that between lost and the endowment draw at 4%, we would project about $480,000 to be available. And on the left-hand side, we're only projecting those $430,000 worth of expenses. So that gives some flexibility, right? We could not draw as much down off the endowment at that time. We could add more direct organizational support. We could do any number of things based on the information we have at that time. This is the endowment model. So you can see those lost contributions on the left-hand side. Those are those annual contributions from the city. Again, we would envision this to be a fund that anybody in the community could contribute to. So hopefully some people would be compelled to invest holistically in the arts for our community, and those numbers would just grow larger. We've anticipated a 7% return, which I think is very conservative based on the impressive track record at the Community Foundation. And then we've calculated what that spending draw may look like if we're at 4% with the administrative fee as well. And you can just kind of see how that builds over time. And even when we start to draw down, how that can still slowly build if we're not pulling more than that 4%.
Is there any precedent for there being endowments like this for arts programs that we've looked into in like other cities and stuff like that? And if so, I'm wondering what the precedent of convincing large arts organizations, like I know PS1 a couple years back got a pretty large grant from the Andy Warhol organization. I guess maybe I'm just thinking that we have grant writers like County does. Like, have we thought about reaching out to some of those organizations, and is that something that's been done, like grants being put into an endowment like this for the arts?
I would imagine so. It might Shelley may have more knowledge of that. I would think I think we're in a little bit of a rare position in which we're using general fund dollars to invest in the arts. I don't think a lot of communities prioritize investment in the arts like this community has done for a long time. Oftentimes you do see community endowments, but they're not necessarily backed by city funding. So I don't think the concept of a community endowment for the arts would be rare at all. Perhaps having it completely seeded by the city might be a little more rare. Is that kind of looking at Shelley, if that's a fair characterization?
Yeah, I just made a note to do some research.
Okay.
And the Arts Alliance isn't, I mean, there are examples of Arts Alliances that we should be able to look at to see if they have some grants embedded in however they do their funding.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an endowment, could look at that as well.
Yeah, I just think it would be cool if, like, score, we got a $100,000 grant 1 year, and then that money could be diverted or added.
Yeah, absolutely. This slide just kind of reiterates those goals and some of the principles. And I really want to stress, like, we're at a moment in time when there's good collaboration. That's not always the case. And that's not just arts organizations, right? That's nonprofits. That's government agencies. So I think we're at an opportunity where we can do this now. We may not be able to do it 5 years from now or 10 years from now. We don't know what that landscape's going to look like. So really want to try to strike while we have that good synergy. This is a little bit more about the management of that endowment. And again, I would defer to Shelley to kind of advise you on how that could look like. But essentially, this council would be setting the rules for that endowment, right? You would be describing what the goals and what the purpose is and what the funding constraints would be. And then Shelley and her team would ensure that the distributions follow whatever framework you set forth. So that would be something that would take several months of work with us, and then between us and the Community Foundation staff, and then we would present that back to you all and make sure you're comfortable with it. But we can answer those questions if you'd like, and I'd ask for some help with Shelley since she was gracious enough to attend.
The maximum spending draw is 5% just for any community foundation. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Welcome.
Hello, Council. Good evening. Afternoon, evening. The Community Foundation is really delighted to be considered as a partner to make this Arts Alliance endowment happen. It's a great investment in such a treasured set of organizations that really make the framework of all the great things happening here in Iowa City. Wanted to make a couple clear points about the endowment. So we are able to set up the endowment to ensure that the investment in Iowa City, if it is needed to remain benefiting Iowa City-based arts organizations, that we can do that. There's communication about wanting this to be a tool for other donors to give. And if it should be a situation where the Arts Alliance is actually Johnson County and that creates a gray area, we can deal with that with a separate kind of Johnson County endowment fund that continues to support maybe broader Arts Alliance organizations outside of Iowa City. Another point that was made regarding grants. So partnering with the Community Foundation to have any fund is a wonderful opportunity for grant making. We are a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. Some granting opportunities do not allow municipalities to apply for grant funding, and especially in a situation where we're bringing multiple organizations together to do something greater than one organization, having a Community Foundation as the applicant, so to speak, pulls all those pieces together in one organization, so we could be helpful in that regard as well. So great opportunity there. We would look forward to being stewards of the resources, and again, we would work together on defining the fund agreement of how the endowment would work, and full discretion on who would receive the grants, how they would be distributed, whether it be designated to specific organizations now or perhaps through an application process or whatever the parameters might be, we'll work together to ensure that happens. Donors also are eligible for the Endow Iowa tax credit should they choose to give to an arts endowment fund, similar to any endowment that we hold at the Community Foundation, but an additional benefit to donors who choose to give to an endowment fund.
The mayor asked a question, and I kind of want to hear maybe a little bit more about the legal or the statutory requirements for how much we can spend. Obviously, with an endowment, we actually want some control, but not complete control to spend it all at once. Can you walk us through what we get to determine versus what is required by Iowa law?
Sure. So what is required is funds, endowment funds, that are eligible and receiving the Endow Iowa tax credit must not distribute, as part of the Endow Iowa rules, more than 5%. And so that's what we've adopted at the Community Foundation as a standard for all of our funds, is to not grant more than 5% out. So if we would want this to be Endow Iowa eligible, we would want to follow those requirements. Now, as far as grant making, you know, more than that, technically you could, but the idea is to preserve principle, grow the fund, make grants, and, you know, have it continue to grow over time.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right. Bigger principle, that means that 5% becomes a larger number.
Yes. The investment from the city, the lost dollars kind of become the principle. It grows, and then the 5% spending out of that.
when there have been endowments made like this in the past, I think you were saying that it would ultimately be our decision, the final strategy for that endowment. I guess when I have talked to try to get some different folks in the arts and culture community talking to them about this, a couple times it came up, well, like, yes, the idea of investing up front and then getting returns later and it not being out of the general fund is awesome, and it's a regenerative fund. But then they also didn't want to have their arts funded by, like, the Raytheon and Coca-Cola fund, you know, mm-hmm. like what they're investing in was some concerns that I had. And I told them that I would imagine this would be something that, you know, we would be accountable to and not just the community foundation. Would that be fair to say that we have oversight?
So you'd have the opportunity to provide our finance committee with some guidance, and we would need to figure out what investment vehicles we would use for that. We do have a socially conscious fund that mm-hmm. we do have available at the community foundation. We just have to look at what the council's recommendations for investment that you'd like to see mm-hmm. have happen. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the community foundation's board of directors, vis-a-vis the finance committee, sets the parameters for what we can invest in. But I'm sure we can review.
Yeah, that was just
proposals.
Something that was,
yeah.
mm-hmm. was brought up to me a couple times when mm-hmm. I tried to talk with folks about this.
Sure.
I think I have the same question like, Councillor Wildline. Is this going to be, like, for example, we say art, like, alliance, and is it, like, many of them in the community, is this, like, in a given year, every organization will get some kind of funding, or this is also going to be, like, through application, some people might get, some people might not?
I'll let you defer.
So staff's intention is to continue to focus on the organizations that we've funded historically and bring in PS1 in that second year. So as we see it right now, we would fund those same organizations with this endowment. We wouldn't envision a competitive application, but that is possible. Should the council want to go a different route and invite competitive applications, whether that's annually or every 5 or every 10 years, however you might want to do it, or a future council might want to do it, I think we could accommodate that. But staff's mm-hmm. views right now is we've been funding identified organizations historically for many years. We're trying to continue to fund those same organizations plus one, and we don't envision it expanding beyond that.
Yeah, that's what I saw. The goal is just to make those organizations sustainable and like to ensure that they receive funding every year.
Yeah. And for the thousands of people watching at home, this is part of our economic development efforts of the city, because these are the things that, in addition to enriching our culture here locally, also bring in a lot of tourism dollars, which helps with the lost funding because that brings in more money that's spent here. And so I always see this kind of expenditure as well as all the good things it just sort of inherently has. It's also like watering the garden. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Related to Councillor Wildline's question, do you currently have any endowments that have ESGs or sustainable funds that you manage?
We just have the socially conscious fund available for any donor that has an interest. We actually have one particular fund that came to us that had that interest.
Okay.
Otherwise, our investment portfolios are all managed locally by 4 local financial institutions. The finance committee directs the investment policy, and then that's given over to the investment managers to choose their own portfolio.
Okay. And the reason I ask is because I was curious if, through your experience, you know, if the drawdown is different. If maybe we shouldn't expect a 5 or 4% drawdown if we choose different investment vehicles.
Our data shows the return is not as great, but it's also
the choice we have to make, but I also don't want to look at a chart right. that's not true to right. what we think right. we're going to have.
Right. It's not as favorable as the standard portfolio that we have used, but it's also not an apples-to-apples comparison, yeah. too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Okay.
Just on the point, Jeff, of the organizations who would be included, I agree that having that like sustainable operational funding that we've provided in the past makes a lot of sense. I also know from serving on EDC that there wasn't necessarily any, you know, roadmap to how we got there. So I would ask us to consider, you know, something evaluative as we nail down who all is involved. I mean, I think even just, you know, my exposure to these different organizations and experience and engaging with them in the community, you know, I think PS1 does great work, and why do they have to wait? Just as an example, right? So I would appreciate if we could consider some rhyme or reason for what we're including and how organizations might seek to be included in the future. I think a lot about all the very agonizing conversations we've had in the aid to agencies and who's legacy and who's not and how do you prove that and what does that mean? I don't want to create a complicated structure, and I know there hasn't been a lot of intention behind which organizations and how much per year in relation to each other, right. which I think having everything, you know, sort of in this alliance or funding them out of the endowment might, that maybe we should do that.
I think, was that part of the second year two plan that you presented with us?
Yeah, we are recommending we do that in year two. And part of it is just because of the amount of work that's going to go into getting the endowment set up correctly, knowing that the Arts Alliance is going to be in its infancy if they pursue that. We just thought that second year might be a better time to pursue that. It can be done in the first year. It's just prioritizing the staff time to focus in on that. And we'd be up for that challenge if council would prefer to do that holistic review in year one.
I mean, I wouldn't want to wait too long, but it seems like if we still have some big question marks, we can do a lot of work now, have the Arts Alliance form, and then have to start over. So I don't know if that's very efficient either, unless I'm reading the potential things that could happen in the next 2 years differently or incorrectly.
I know this is a little bit Rachel's lane, but has the Arts Alliance consultant report been fully returned? And so we don't really know the recommended shape of that organization even yet.
No, you can.
Okay.
The consultant met with the or the orgs invited to participate in the potential forming of the Arts Alliance just on Friday. I feel like I'm stepping too close to the microphone.
No, you're good.
Got final feedback from committee. I was there. Rachel was there. Okay. And we're getting very close. I have to say, I'm just so proud of all of the arts organizations. They're really standing together shoulder to shoulder, putting down silos and really collectively wanting to uplift all the work that's happening. And I can say it really does seem like they want Johnson County, all organizations in Johnson County to benefit from the work of the Alliance in whatever form that might take.
I'm really interested.
Sorry, just one clarification. Whether the Arts Alliance moves forward or not, we still believe the endowment is the correct vehicle to pursue. So for us, the endowment could meet, could and should go forward regardless of what shape the Alliance takes. But
sure. One of the things I appreciate about that plan is it does give, you know, we look down 5, 6, 8 years down the path, it gives some of our arts funding, makes it, I don't want to jinx anything by calling it bulletproof, but it does make it a lot more stable. And that's one of the things, too, that I've heard from some of the UNESCO and other folks that are interested in this. You know, should we continue to have all of the challenges we face with our property tax and all the stuff coming from Des Moines, but at the same time, should that situation ever improve? There's nothing in this plan that says, you know, one-off projects, but for an ongoing operating fund and having this solid, I just have, again, several years now hearing those conversations and that shakiness and that uncertainty, doing away with that and doing with it long-term is just, I really like that. I really appreciate that kind of a plan.
All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. So we have maybe a few more things that we need to touch on. Before we leave off the Arts Alliance, is there anything council kind of want to wrap up with that for now? It sounds like the proposal is by the staff is to go the endowment route and wait to see what happens to the Arts Alliance. But
for the purposes of our budget, I'm very supportive of this plan.
Same. Agreed.
I just have a broader question that might be a segue into more of our last conversation. Is there, just internally, Jeff, are there conversations around, like, using the endowment vehicle for any other kinds of granting that the city does? Or is there a reason that we're, you know, picking this? Are we, like, piloting it? What have you been
I would
thinking?
Say in the back of staff's mind, there's a pilot element to this. You could imagine if it's successful that it could go to any number of other types of support. You mentioned aid to agencies, which could be worthy of consideration. We think about even public art funding, different from the arts organizations, but how we fund public art, that's a general fund expenditure. That could be an endowment. So we felt like this was the best place to start. Again, trying to capitalize on the collaboration and the Arts Alliance discussions. But yeah, I think if it's successful, future staff and councils could look at taking some of those lost dollars and doing the same thing for other purposes. And at least at this stage, I think that'd be pretty wise.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I just wanted to say before we move on that I'm really, really happy that Public Space One is getting on this funding train. I think they've done so much good work for so long. Have really, I used to be on the board, so I, the board of Public Space One. So I used to, you know, I would see how it really, you know, sometimes, especially with them expanding and doing all the good work they do in the community, like work that I think a lot of the community doesn't see. How some of those financial conversations. I feel like I'm just happy that it'll be a little bit less of a hard conversation each year when they do budgeting. So I'm just really happy about that. Thank you.
All right. So if we looked at the memo that we received from our assistant city manager, there are just recapping about four topics, shall we say, that we wanted to continue discussions on. I think number one is going to be take a lot of discussion on that one potentially, but that is recommendations by the staff with some metrics related to affordable housing. And there was an attachment or is an attachment number two that is in our information packet. And then we somewhat had conversations surrounding number two. The human rights grant, we didn't touch base on that. But other than that, we did the kind of the community partnerships.
Actually, Mayor, if I may, I have a question that is a clarifying question because we've talked about it outside of session just as an overview. So I just want some clarity on the childcare piece, which is in the community partnerships. And then sure. It might be something to carry forward a little bit, but it is not on the on this summary. So I just wanted to see if absolutely. At some point I just want to get some clarity on the specific line item.
And again, I'm just listing all the things right now so that council can think about with our remaining time, which is just a little less than an hour, to touch some of these topics. And so community partnerships is absolutely one of those. Child care is in there. Human rights grant is another one that we would like to, another topic that we can talk about. And then when it comes down to item number three, which is just the state mandated property tax relief, and the number four, the public infrastructure and facilities. So those are kind of the things that we still wanted to circle back to. If you want to start with number two, community partners, I think that we can certainly start wherever council wants to.
Sure. I'm going to cover them all, so.
So actually, I'm just going to take the mic for the moment. I just wanted clarification because I don't remember the details. On the slide for community partnerships, there is for FY27, $75,000 for the Child Care Wage Enhancement Program. And then in FY28, it is $100,000. Remind me, is that to keep the payout for the child care workers at $2?
No, in fact, I think it would be difficult to be able to maintain that $2 stretch. It depends a lot on who else is supporting this. If there's great private sector response, if other public sector entities contribute, then that may be possible. But the 75 and the 100,000 probably would not be able to maintain the $2 wage enhancement alone. There may have to be some program constrictions or some lowered enhancement amounts, $1.50 or $1. Instead of $2, this is going to need some more conversation with those partners that are really running this program. So the county's doing that now. There's some discussions about shifting that to United Way, and if that transition takes place, I think the whole program would be evaluated. I think the $75,000 up to $100,000 in year two would be a very significant contribution, perhaps the biggest contribution that anybody locally may be making. But I couldn't tell you that it would maintain that $2 unless there's additional outside funding supplementing that.
And if I remember right, you had also mentioned that at the end of 2 years, again, so much of this depends on private partnerships, that the program might cease.
I think with our contribution,
without this, yes.
It would. I think yes. I think there's some questions about how it can be maintained. I think the public sector is going to have to invest in this for it to be sustained. We only show 2 years here. It's not that because we see it as a 2-year investment. When you make this type of investment, you're really kind of committing long term, unless the program's not delivering the results that are satisfactory. What we tried to show between fiscal year and 27 and 28, when that investment goes up, it's because that initial fiscal year, we're not expending all of the expected revenues that we get. You see the $525,000 at the end of fiscal year 27 there. That's a little bit of conservative budgeting, not knowing what that sales tax revenue is going to look like. And also, we're hoping to use that fund balance to seed that capital reserve that we talked about in the budget work session. When you get to year two, we don't feel the need to budget that conservatively. We'll think we'll have a much better feel on what those revenues are. And we do feel that we could bump that up to 100. And you'll see that in a number of them where they get a bump in year two.
And has there... Go ahead.
Just specifically on the wage enhancement, when we first started that fund and that program, I know we talked about asking for contributions from private partners to be like on a per employee basis and setting some number. Is that reflected at all in this $75,000? Okay.
No, I don't know that really took hold in the community.
Yeah.
So this number is what staff felt was needed to make a meaningful contribution that can keep a program going. It was not intended to be the sole provider for that entire fund. If you go much lower than this, I think there's more risk that this thing falls apart. And if you go much higher, I think then the pressure on everybody else to contribute to a community-wide objective starts to dissipate. So we tried to find that magic number. It could be that in discussions with those folks that are directly working on this program, they may encourage or advise you to shift those numbers around a little bit more. But from where we sit as staff today, this was the best number that we could target.
I think there's a lot of moving parts when it comes down to child care. There's some legislation being discussed right now relating to it. Of course, it would be great to know what community partners have committed in the past, just to get a refresher on that, and who might be signaling that they're going to continue to contribute. But I guess for us, what would be helpful to this council? Do we want kind of a memo relating to this, a little more specific as to what, you know, who has contributed, what things are at play right now? Mm-hmm. Or are we comfortable, you know, just stating that this is the contribution that we're going to give right now, realizing that there are a lot of moving parts that we can't control?
I think the only thing that concerns me is the fact that, and I certainly appreciate that this is in and earmarked for this through LOST. I think what concerns me, though, is the fact that there are so many moving parts with childcare, and that there might be other opportunities or other innovative ways to be able to address our local childcare needs. And just, you know, there's so much need, not enough money to go around. So everybody needs to come and spend their money in Iowa City. But I would love to be able to think creatively at a certain point about being able to allow for projects, set money for projects that we don't yet know about, whether it's specifically within childcare or others. Right now I'm focusing on childcare just because it's top of mind. But as we move forward in talking about the ways that we'll allot LOST, I think that one of the things that I'd like so much was that there are these placeholders, both or projections about let's build up some reserves for specific things where it's absolutely needed for the capital reserve, for the build partnership. It would be fantastic if we could figure out a way to start to do that for other programs, because in the big scheme of things, $175,000 for 2 years for wage enhancement for $2 more an hour, no one else is stepping up, which is a shame. And I'm glad the city is, but I would like to be able to see us think more expansively and maybe, again, work with our other entities that could help in this endeavor, whether private or at a county level. I know they've been instrumental in it. So kind of on my soapbox, but it just seems right now that that's a really small amount for it actually to be going down in terms of the lived wages. And so that's... Mm-hmm.
Would it? So right now we have a very specific a child care wage enhancement. Do we think that changing the language where it just says child care in parentheses, i.e. wage enhancement, gives us a little more flexibility and also signals that, as you mentioned, if there's other opportunities coming down the pike, we could shift with decreasing public expectations a little bit, because right now it's very specific that we're going to use it for wage enhancement. I'm not suggesting that we change, you know, the $2 an hour, but maybe there's a program that comes from the state, you know, that does that enhancement, and maybe there's another opportunity. But if it's specific right here, then I think it could kind of signal that that's what we're going to use it for. But if we kind of change it to child care, example, wage enhancement, then it could give us a little more wiggle room with all of the moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Can I have kind of a foundational question about the program, so without debate. When we were talking about the Arts Alliance, I know in the back of my mind and probably in some of the back of your minds, we were thinking, you know, is the city funding this? And the reason I was thinking about that is because it's a regional effort and wanting to see that our Iowa City dollars get spent on Iowa City things. It's my understanding the Child Wage Enhancement Program was a regional effort. Is it diminishing to being just an Iowa City-funded effort, yet we're funding a regional priority? That's not fair characterization?
No, our dollars are restricted to child care centers in Iowa City. But that was part of the ARPA requirement when we did it, and I would envision that to be the case here. So the question is whether a Johnson County or a United Way would want to operate a program if only one community is participating. At some point they may say, well, Iowa City, this would just be your program. Yeah. So there's definitely value in the regional program, but our dollars are staying local.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously this is all good, but I also want to think strategically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, is our best place wage care and wage enhancement, or maybe as Mayor Teague was suggesting, some other way to help daycare centers, like help them build facilities in Iowa City.
But you need workers to work in them.
Right. They need all the above, right?
I mean, it's such the number one thing that child care centers need. They're mandated to have
people.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're paid horribly. So I guess for me, I'm okay with actually having it be specific because we have a setup program that's proven to work. And actually, as far as a memo goes, if we just wanted to get Think Iowa City's data, Michael Gent has it all at his fingertips. I think it was more to say, as we think through Lost, and obviously this might be a very different conversation, and I hope one that we get to have a year from now when we see what we're getting in. Right now, we don't know how much, and so rightfully so, our staff is being conservative, and it's the smart move. I would love in a year from now to say, okay, so this is what we got, and can we feel comfortable with a slightly larger estimate of dollars that are going to be coming in, and therefore can we start thinking about how do we actually take some money for opportunity funds, right? At this juncture, though, I don't want to just put this into a more generalized bucket of child care things because we have a program that has been proven to work on a lot of different metrics. Was remembering, as Jeff confirmed, that this is actually going to, even the amount that we're putting in the next 2 years is going to potentially and likely diminish the wages because it's just not enough. So I would rather it stay at wage enhancement while also offering up to council, let's think about how we might be able to create some wiggle room for additional specific programs or pilots or, you know, all of the above when we know better what we're working towards. But I just don't want this to become like the arts pre-endowment, mm-hmm. where it's always, given the need, it's always a pittance that we're getting. So mm-hmm. that's my soapbox, and I'll say it again later.
No, I really appreciate that. And if there is maybe one thing that I admittedly might naively think that the state legislator might have some shred of humanity about, it's child care. And you mentioned that, Mayor Teague, that there was legislation being talked about. I don't know if any of our staff has heard anything about that. I mean, that'd be wonderful. I mean, I don't think we should expect anything, but I guess the other thing, I would like to, I don't know if it needs to be a memo to all the counselors, if you all, most of you were there, if not all of you were there when you had the initial ARPA funding to put to this program, but maybe it might give me more context if I just have a sit down with Jeff and talk about how that is all set up and so I can have a better understanding. But I don't know if I necessarily think you all need a memo. I could just do that on my own.
Although I will say that there is one prepared. Think Iowa City. I meant to say Greater Iowa City. But the data that they have been able to collect is also incredibly useful, and I think it would be great as a part of the information packet, just more broadly.
Agreed. Yeah, I would certainly have to defer to those community partners that are administering the program, and that includes the Johnson County staff and Michael Chen and Greater Iowa City team. But I can connect you. I can get a memo and give it to you all of the above.
Okay.
All right. Where do we want to go from here? There are a lot of topics.
Are we still going to keep it in number two for now? Or?
Oh, we can.
I just want to clarify one thing to council. You're probably feeling a little bit of pressure to kind of sign off on this. For the budget purposes, outside of what is replacing general fund dollars, you have time to perfect this post-budget adoption. So let's take the child care wage enhancement piece, and you layer in the UI Labor Center pre-apprenticeship program, and you layer in the capital reserve dollars. Those are three examples of things that aren't replacing general fund dollars. They're new programs. The budget is going to have all of these expenditures outlined, so you're going to have the authority to expend these dollars. But if you decide to move them around and these numbers want to shift a little bit, or even if you want to change and say, you know what, the capital reserve was a good idea, but let's not pursue that in year one, and you want to switch that, you'll have the ability to do that post-budget adoption. So I just don't want you to feel the pressure that you have to solve all of these complex issues and funding decisions right now. There is that slide that we shared with you on what's replacing general fund dollars. If you want to make those changes, we'd like you to do that before the budget adoption, because we've got to get the budget authority back in the general fund unless you want to drop those programs.
Thank you for that reminder.
A follow-up on that, Jeff. For when we're looking at the budget document for those items that are general fund relief, I guess I kind of expected something in the revenue portion to say like local option sales tax is this chunk, and because it says like transfer from general fund in the revenue section within a given department. I didn't know if the general fund relief, like that's in addition to what's currently shown in the revenue section, right? Like that, it's not reflected in our budget book, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. So for almost all of the things, it was removed out of the general fund completely. So it's planned to be expended out of the lost fund. So it's not in the general fund budget at all, other than the GRIP piece, because it was going to be too complicated with repayments. So that is the only piece that is still like, the expenditures are physically in the general fund.
So what I'm getting at is like for different departments, like whether it's NDS or whatever it is, like having the knowing that the revenue that we expect that is expended in the lost expenditure part of the budget, right? But the revenue that is supporting a department isn't shown in the revenue, like the lost revenue isn't shown separately.
Right, because the lost revenue is also in the lost fund. Mm-hmm. So the expenses are just moved. Before, there wasn't necessarily, like the aid agencies, there wasn't a set funding that was paying for that. That was mm-hmm. just the overall property taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's those expenses really are just moved out. That the revenue is still all there to be used for all of the other things, which in this case is mostly going to wage and benefit increases throughout the general fund.
So maybe my question, which I can follow up separately if other people don't care, is sort of for each of these general fund relief, where would they have been in terms of the departments?
I see.
Right? Like that part I'm having a hard time reconciling.
Yeah.
We'll just have you identify yourself for the record, please, Nicole.
Cole Davies, Finance Director. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we could do it in 15 seconds here. So support for the winter shelter and street outreach is NDS budget. GRIP is NDS. Human rights grants out of human rights. Climate action grant is out of Climate Action Division. Mm-hmm. The community mental health liaison program was out of the police department. Aid to agencies is out of NDS. And the SCMID is out of the city manager's office budget.
Okay. Nice. That was easy. Thank you.
Schnick, schnick, schnick.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so we don't have to make all the decisions now, but certainly there's a few things that we need to do because of dates and such. So just want to still open up the floor to any counselor that want to focus in on anything right now.
If anyone want to talk about number one, let me know. I have a conflict with one of them. That's why I have to recuse myself.
Okay.
I don't care which topic we take on, Mayor. Just
okay. Dive in.
We got to get to all of them eventually.
Sure. Is there anything else? Is there anything that anyone is feeling that is time sensitive, just with our dates of when we have to approve certain things along the budget cycle?
I mean, I was hoping we could reopen the conversation about the levy reduction. So I know it's proposed as a 20-cent reduction in the debt service levy, and this is somewhat a question about the potential anticipated legislation relating to property tax reform, but just a very, very general, like, am I thinking about this right question? If they're going to cap our future revenue, we think is the most likely. Is that kind of
property tax revenue?
Mm-hmm. So,
growth.
If we reduce the levy, and it can only grow a certain amount, right? Like, it doesn't seem like this would be the year that we would want to reduce it, because then our growth in the future will be set at that reduced level. Am I thinking about that wrong?
That's what I was trying to say last meeting, but I think you just said it correctly instead of me.
Well, Nicole's shaking her head anyway, so please enlighten us.
So, Nicole Davies, finance director. It doesn't quite work like that. And from that, and again, we've got three pieces of legislation.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what the end result is going to be. It's going to cap the growth, but it's probably going to do that by reducing the levy. So from what I saw from what they proposed last year, our levies are probably never going to be stagnant, right? I think we're going to see our levies just kind of bounce around. It doesn't impact the debt service levy, so we're not, right? That's what we're dropping, so it's not like we're going to be capped there. More than likely, our other levies are going to get pushed down, and we probably will increase the debt service levy to try and balance that out. But you're just not ever going to see, I don't think, if any of this legislation passes, I don't think you're ever going to see it. It's going to be really hard to compare what the levy was to what the levy is going to.
All right. And there's never a limit on the debt service levy. There's just like the how much debt can we carry that informs that.
As of now.
That's correct.
As of now. Thank you.
So, sorry, I probably have another question for you, Nicole. Are we, with these new property tax reform bills, are we also still obligated to get our general levy tax rate down to 810? I mean, that doesn't change, right? We still have to.
I do think that piece was going away in some of these.
Okay, we just don't know.
But that's the current environment. So if nothing, if reform stalls out this year, we still have to get it to 810. And it could be forced below 810 before we get to that fiscal year 29.
And it's 29. Fiscal year 29 is 810.
Yeah, 2 more years, right?
2 more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is not the general property tax amount. That is just the property tax element, not debt levy.
Just general.
Just general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the 810.
Yeah, there's multiple levies that equal to our total rate. So, and the different legislations cap, you know, different ones and treat them a little bit differently. So, for example, the growth cap affects transit levy. It affects the general fund levy, but it doesn't affect the debt service levy. So we just kind of have to see where that shakes out.
I do think you bring up a good point, Councilor Berg. It's just, for me, I'm thinking about loss option sales tax. When we had that conversation and had we did it years ago, right, all the opportunities, one, we would have had in the fund, but some of the changes in that, you know, the legislation surrounding it also affected us. And so I guess given some of what's happening at the potentials of what's happening at the state, I would just maybe ask the staff, if council agrees, just look at what's happening and see if you do have a different recommendation, or if you're very confident that what you've recommended to us now is the best situation, then so be it. But if there is some change in thoughts that have put us in a long-term better position, then I would rather have that coming from you all at this point and talk through it and for us to really consider it.
Yeah, I don't think we need time to discuss that. The legislation that's being proposed this year in a lot of ways is very similar to what was proposed last year and worked on until the very last day when they then they threw in the towel. So we make this recommendation knowing what we think is inevitable this year, that one of these three bills will in some shape be adopted. And we feel confident that this levy reduction is not only manageable but prudent given the state's legislation and given that relief requirement. So our recommendation doesn't change based on what's been introduced.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess my thoughts I partially articulated last time about this is, I mean, there's $14 million in loss, and we could have put all of it towards property tax reduction, as I understand. Obviously not what we talked about, not what we're doing. I was like $2.80, and we're doing 20 cents. It's kind of small. The property relief component, 50%, we're doing relief, not reduction for the most part. Like, could be, you know, $1.40. Again, we're doing 20 cents. Like, it seems pretty modest. Is that my thinking about this the right way? Like the percentage of reduction the amount of reduction we could be doing is a lot, and what a lot of communities do. We're not doing that. We're really small in our reduction. One of the $7 million.
One of the $7 million, correct.
Right, which is
20 cents.
20 cents.
Yeah, and I think we also know that our option is to, like, I think North Liberty and Coralville both are increasing their levies, even though they have lost, and, you know, are very comfortable with the...
They think they're going to get away with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about the getting away with it part, okay, is what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. I think staff told us that pretty unequivocally last meeting.
I'm looking at our city attorney who's smirking, and I'm curious, has anyone else done this yet in the state where they pass lost and also increase property taxes and call it with a straight face property tax relief?
Well, I'm aware that there are other communities who have engaged in the same exercise of characterizing what they've done as relief. I guess I haven't looked deep enough to see whether they have... had new local option sales tax subject to the 50% minimum requirement, which wasn't always the case, of course,
right.
Raise their a levy even despite that. I'm not sure the answer to that question. That would give me pause.
One question that I have, and let me know if I'm thinking about this in a wrong way. The debt levy diversion, which is kind of like what we envision for the vast majority of this 50% to be. What if for some reason at the end of the year we just don't have that many projects to divert the levy from, and we have all of this money that's supposed to go towards diversion, but we just don't have the projects to do that? Then at the end, would we just be forced to reduce or...
No, so every year we're averaging over $15 million per year in our CIP. That's how much we're bonding every year. Actually, your CIP shows a higher average, closer to $17 or $18 million. So for example, if on the list of projects that we would be using these property tax relief for, let's say the Highway 6 trail expansion, we bid that, it comes in way over bid, and we decide not to do it, so that $1.5 million doesn't get spent, we would simply reprogram that into next year's lost budget, and we have ample projects, especially when you think of Dodge and Taft and the Burlington Bridge. There's no shortage of projects that could benefit from that. It's just going to reduce our borrowing amount.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any issue in carrying over funds 1 year and reprogramming them. Remember, we're not getting all these funds in fiscal year, in calendar year 26 anyway. We're not going to get the majority of the funds until calendar year 27. So we've got ample time.
I guess for some reason that makes so much sense. In my brain, I was thinking perhaps, I don't know why I was thinking this, but perhaps the 50% property tax relief would have to go towards something done by the other 50% of our, so the projects would have to be from these other things, but that makes way more sense. Yeah.
So I guess one final point, and totally cool if nobody's interested in entertaining the not reducing the levy, but we do have a set date by which we have to have the maximum, and that includes the debt service levy, that we can't raise it, and that's pretty soon.
One of the early dates. Sorry, Nicole. I'll keep talking while you're running up here. But just the property tax relief portion, the $1 million of the $7 million, like we could, for example, put $3 million towards the pavement improvement project and not lower the levy.
Correct.
So that's the kind of thing I just want to make sure people are on board with, like, this is the premise.
Correct.
So Nicole Davies, finance director. Assuming you don't have a special meeting, you'd have to decide that at your next meeting, because we have to give that information to the county by March 5th in order for that awesome mailing to go out to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm down to entertain that notion. I think I brought it up. Especially since this wouldn't be an increase. This would just be not a decrease. So we're not doing what North Liberty and Coralville would be doing if we decided to. We're not. I don't think you're proposing, you know, increasing the general levy. But I think maybe I just understand the time constraints. But I think it would be a worthy conversation looking at these other things like the annual pavement rehab, fire station Highway 6 trail expansion. If we think more money directly towards them or any of these projects would be better than just the $1 million reduction, that's a conversation that I would be interested in having.
I have a question. So is there a proposal I thought I heard Councilor Wyline say reducing the levy, but I understand you're wanting to increase the levy.
No, yeah, sorry if I misspoke.
Keep it the same.
I feel like I understand that not like reducing, not increasing it, leave it the same, by using the $1 million for something else, not paying the tax. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You're understanding that correctly.
And I also, another question I when I ask you, is it 20 cent that will be reduced? Is this the same thing, 20 cent from the, 100. Like, also 20 cent reduction from last year, per 1,000, blah, 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 right?
Correct.
I think it's probably 100. So the total levy that was 1563 would go down to 1543
and
per 1,000.
And if we break that out, this comes out of the debt service part of that levy, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Out of that 15.
Mm-hmm. And we've been at 1563 for 3 years.
I think that's about right. 3 years.
Three.
Yep.
I mean, I want to build buildings and roads and do things. I, in my heart, feel like the right thing to do is some small token of property tax reduction. It's just the smallest amount that has been recommended by staff. So, in my judgment, I think the budget that's been proposed to us makes sense. But I see three heads that are like, no, I want something different. So I'll just like to hear what the other counselors think.
I suppose maybe it would be helpful if we can imagine any other project, any projects listed here on the lost recommendations. If we could get options in front of us or hypotheticals, like instead of doing this, this $1 million or this $500,000 or this $250,000 could go to these things. I think that would be a great way to make an educated decision other than $1 million extra dollars towards vibes. And
I definitely would want staff's recommendation.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm interested in having that conversation. I understand that it needs to be a quicker conversation that isn't waiting until April. But yeah.
So I think if you know, the state has this property tax relief 50% requirement, certainly all the things that are being proposed are allowable within that. Certainly we can take away the property tax rate reduction, and this is specific to property owners. For me, I think some element of having what their ultimate proposed intent was be represented in some way, 20 cent per, you know, I think this is reasonable. And I think our, you know, I don't know what all the thoughts went through the staff's head. And I also recognize that you all are saying, can we, you know, do something with this? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I feel comfortable having something that is a direct property tax relief for those folks that have property taxes.
Yeah, and sorry, just one quick thing. I think that, like I was saying, like getting options, getting things on the table, even if it's not 20 cents, even if we say, okay, well, what if it's 10 cents and we put $500,000? We've seen that the library carpet and furnishings replacement is great, but here's a couple other things that this could make up the difference for. That's a hypothetical situation. But I could see, you know, our engineers being like, actually, if we had an extra 500K or 250K for immediately for Highway 6 trail expansion or something like that, a situation like that, I don't know.
I come back to what I was kind of harping on before, where it's like, on the one hand, thank God we've got this money. On the mm-hmm. other, it just doesn't seem to be enough. But it was actually in the Housing Authority report of how many homeowners there were versus renters. Mm-hmm. It's only about 5% difference. Mm-hmm. There, it is a majority of renters. It's like 53.4 or something like that. And the homeowners who also voted for this are 47.6. And we have very high property taxes. And while this is not a reduction per se, I mean, it's not relief.
It's not a check back.
Right. Yeah. It's not a check back. I feel like this is proportional in terms of saying we're trying as a city to help better the city as a whole. Among them, 47.6 people, or sorry, 47.6% are homeowners, and some portion of those voted on this. And so I feel like it's proportional as a response in terms of coverage for why people voted for this. When I was out campaigning, I heard from, I would say, one in two, three houses, it was about, if when talking about lost, it was about property tax relief.
I think, like, to your boy in 47, that means 53% mm-hmm. percent of the renter are the people who really 100%. Hit hard by this loss. And I think if we ensure that reducing the property tax will reduce the rent, we will do it, definitely. But I don't see that happening. 20 cent reduction will make them also reduce. But we can use this money for something that we need to do that will be benefit for everyone, the 47% and the 53% too.
I think there's some, I think there's some truth to that. But I also kind of, and Mayor Pro Tem Alter kind of touched on this too, like just many of those doorstep conversations last year, last summer and last fall, this came up a lot. And so there were a fair number of people. Some people were like, you know, yeah, spend on all these kinds of things. But there were a fair number of people, especially people who are on fixed incomes for various things, are homeowners but are struggling to stay in their homes, which is a part of the affordable housing piece. You know, they were interested in this, you know, the idea of property tax relief, right? And well, actually, I didn't come across really anybody that said, oh, we need a refund check or anything like that. But as describing the various benefits of lost and what this 50% property tax relief was, at least when I was talking about it with people, one of the points of the conversation was, okay, so if we borrow less, this means that that we will have to charge less on the bill to pay back that amount of borrowing. And so to kind of to that idea of proportionality, so I would, you know, the fact that this is a fairly small proportion of the overall pie does give something back. And you know, honestly, this, you know, because housing values, the values of our homes keep going up, it's not like it's actually going to be the dollar. The check is probably, everybody's going to be surprised because they're probably still going to write a bigger check year over year. It just won't be as much of an increase, which is kind of how I, those conversations I had, but also in some of the conversations, some of the lost supporters when asking people to vote for it and getting property owners who maybe don't have the same, completely aligned with our 100% with our sets of values, but are willing to still support this, knowing that we were going to be using a lot of this money for all of the 50% of the various things, the affordable housing, the community partnerships. But there's a chunk of the population that was really more into this other 50%, this property tax relief. And so I find myself being, I think if it would have been a much bigger number, I probably would have I'd probably agree with the hesitation on this. But again, the proportionality of this, I think, is in the ballpark of where I would be comfortable, because it is, like I said, proportion for me, it's proportional to kind of what we should be looking at. So I actually don't have a problem with this, but I would if it was bigger than this.
Is it possible to have a reserve for the property tax relief, or it has to be named?
What do you mean?
I don't even know what a reserve would look like. I think it would be treading in uncharted waters if you wanted to create some reserve in this area. I would suggest that on the relief side of things, that's the capital project side, not the levy reduction, that you intend to spend all of those dollars within a year of taking those in. And that's why we've suggested projects that are queued up and ready to go. I wouldn't suggest keeping a reserve.
Okay.
In this particular 50% category. The other ones, absolutely.
Sure. Go right ahead. Oh.
Say what you want to say.
Oh. I mean, so I hear everybody's point of view, and I agree that they're all true, and I guess for me, is there something specific that folks are thinking? Because if this is being proposed, yes, 500,000 can go somewhere else, or 750,000 could be, what is the property tax rate reduction at 15 cents? I guess my question is there something specific that was hoped for?
Yeah, I guess maybe and I don't know, Jeff, how these conversations would go, or if there's been a lot like conversations like this in regards to these named projects that we have. If we talk to the folks directly involved in these and ask if we can get an idea of what more upfront help would look like, and just get a report back, options. If they say, actually $250,000 would really put us across the line in this particular endeavor and make it really a lot easier for us to do this, then I think we would be having a better conversation.
We heard there's no shortage of projects.
Yeah, I would
honestly
say a lot of those, there's no shortage of projects. You're correct. You can look at the unfunded list on the CIP and see dozens and dozens of projects, but they're not queued up and ready to go. And that's the tricky thing with this. These dollars should be spent within the year of receiving them. So in terms of what staff would recommend, if you didn't want to reduce the levy, I'd look at the CIP, the current year CIP, and we would probably just reduce borrowing and shifted over to lost. I don't think we would add anything else. Perhaps what Councillor Burgess said about adding $1 million to the annual pavement rehab. We don't bond for that pavement rehab. That's road use tax. We could do that. We're already doubling that budget. We spend $2 million a year. This would take us to $4 million. So you could go from 2 to 5. But otherwise, we're just probably going to replace borrowing with lost dollars.
Okay. I mean, I would be okay with just kind of between now and next meeting, or between now and next meeting, having discussions, looking through the CIP, if anything catches their eye of something just like, wow, this could really use some more immediately, and then making a decision next meeting. I don't know. I think.
I just have a question. Like, every year we anticipate the 50% whatever from loss will be increased. Like, this year, this next year, maybe we have more money. That's what it is, right?
Correct.
What about if we reduce it this year, like 10 cents, I mean,
yeah,
which is a $500,000, and see next year, like, how we're going to increase and how much you want to, because we have to do the same thing next year, keeping maybe reducing it, and we can just build gradually. Each time we have more money, we go more. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I guess I would ask, in the same way that Councilor Burgess said last meeting, would we be willing to raise it, that we would have to be willing to raise it? Would we be willing to decrease it to keep that, right? I mean, you were saying 10 cents now this year, 10 cents maybe next year. Would the council's will actually be to do that? Like, you know what? It's fine. People aren't banging on our doors. They're complaining, but they're not banging on our doors to... Right. I guess I just wonder about, it's the inverse of the same conversation that we've been having about, would the council have the will to say, yes, you know what, actually, to look at property tax relief, will we now say, yes, we should lower it another 10 cents?
Yeah.
I guess that's my question. And I mean, it is a rhetorical.
I got your point. I just mean, like, this year we are testing everything. And I think one of the goals is to lower it, and if we lower it, like, by 10 cents this year, and next year, like, things if we need to lower it, sometime maybe we don't need to lower it by anything because a crisis happened or we need the money for something else. And that the voter will understand that, the resident will understand that. But I think just, like, now, this year, we can do it that way. And keep in mind, our goal is also to reduce it, unless something really bad happened that we need to use that money for something else. That's what I really mean.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be helpful to ask, like, staff to yourselves look through the CIP, because you know more about the day-to-day operations of everything, and to come to us with a hypothetical, just like, if you were considering doing something else, this would be something, this particular CIP project is something that I would like done sooner rather than later. I think it's of higher importance, just to give us that. I don't know. Because I feel like me just going through and looking through the CIP stuff, I wouldn't have all the context. I would be like, this sounds great, but it's actually...
So, yeah if that's the will of the council, absolutely. We would come back and we'd say, if you wanted a 10-cent reduction or a 0-cent reduction, here's how we would recommend you spend that. Absolutely, we could do that.
I mean, and I guess I haven't heard it articulated the reason why.
So we have $1 million to spend. Because we're always talking about the budget problems, and I believe we can do it within the law. We're not talking about raising the levy. We've been reducing. I mean, you know, does anybody know what the levy was 10 years ago? $16.58. Like, we've been doing this, and our share of the overall of our overall burden for taxpayers has been reducing too. So I'm not trying to, like, increase people's tax bills, but we're talking about the levy rate staying the same would give us $1 million extra dollars.
And I think, great point, but also this went to the voters, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really, like, just today I learned that, I think Coralville and North Liberty both are raising their levies. So, like, that's what made me think about it, and that's why I think we're having, this is our first conversation in a work session since the presentations, right? So knowing that we have this deadline, I just wanted to make sure we actually vet that and, you know, just say, do we really want to have this $1 million go that direction instead of to us?
Yeah.
Do you know, I hadn't seen that, thank you for sharing that, do you know, was that increase coming from their debt levy or some other, or was it the stuff you read?
I know their transit levy is going to go up. I don't know if other people know what
I'm just curious if it's, it might be a little bit of apples to oranges.
All I'm talking about is this idea of communities that have just adopted law. So the 50% tacker, I'm not saying we need to do the same as those communities. It's just like they're in the same boat as us. And it's a question that I think we need to discuss.
And we could come to the decision after hearing staff's recommendations of what we could potentially do with $500K or $1 million and say, you know what, actually, I think this is still the best option of this direct $1 million worth of reduction. But I just think we at least should have that conversation in like a productive way, instead of us, like I said earlier, just $1 million for vibes. If we have anything actual, like concrete things in front of us, then we can have a better conversation.
And I guess when I ask you, Jeff, if we, you said maybe we don't have like enough project to use this money for, but you said also this is could be paid for like just pay debt, right?
Correct. We have plenty of uses for the dollars, but it might just be replacing another funding source. So for example, we might have a road project. I think we're still bonding for Court Street. Maybe for Dodge Street is a good example. We would just reduce the borrowing and replace that borrowing with the local option sales tax dollars.
Or we'd add it
to the roads. I mean, it's going to be an infrastructure project. That would mm-hmm. be our recommendation. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put anything in an operating type of use in this situation. So it's going to be an infrastructure project of some type, and it would have to be a one-time expenditure that we would look at. So it's probably not, you know, I wouldn't come to that meeting expecting a memo of here's a bunch of new projects that you can fund.
Yeah.
It's more here's how you can fund the existing projects differently. Mm-hmm.
And if we just, you know, finishing my thought, if we use that for like infrastructure buying and reducing the debt, is there is a way also if we want to borrow the money for something completely different that otherwise cannot be paid by this 50% plus, and that will be, is that something can be done?
I think that there's probably ways to do that. You're thinking something different than infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
The library furnishings is a good example. I'm sure the rec center could use additional equipment or a senior center could replace their tables, or you know, we could think of any number of potential uses like that that may not be an infrastructure. My mind goes to the infrastructure first, but if you wanted something different, we could give you options.
I think for me, I would like to, because the project isn't really the question. The question is it the will of this council to change this property tax rate reduction? And I think in the 4 minutes that we have left, it might be helpful just to lay that, you know, make a determination as to where we want to be. I mean, there are some great points being made all over the place. You know, at least for me, I go back to we said we were going to, you know, have loss. And of course, there's 50% property tax relief, which if a layperson heard that, they're thinking, wow, I got 50% off. You know, there's going to be a reduction in my tax that I'll kind of feel. And at this moment, you know, even at the 20 cent, it is a reduction, but it is not significant per person.
Mm-hmm. I guess my ask isn't us to make that decision right now. My ask is to get options, suggestions with if we went that route of not doing this direct.
There'll be a number of things that they can come back with, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do we want to go down? I think that's the question for me. I don't know what other people are
thinking. Real clarification, for the next meeting, we don't necessarily have to answer maybe the question that Councillor Wyline is, we just have to say what our levy rate is going to be, our maximum potential levy rate, right? That's kind of what we have to decide for
that's
the next
That's our fundamental meeting. Question for
right,
next
our
time.
Fundamental.
And that gets mailed to the voters, or to all the addresses.
This is your levy
so
rate.
We submit that to the county. The county has a legal requirement to put mailings out to everybody. With that tax rate.
For the April 7th meeting.
But we wouldn't necessarily have to say, cut it in half, this $500,000 will go here, or this, if we get rid of this at all, we don't
You
have
can
to.
Lower the tax rate after that. You can tell the community 1563 is our maximum, and then in a subsequent meeting say, well, we've decided to go down to 1543. You can't go the other way. Whatever you tell the community is your ceiling.
Thank you, Jeff. That's Thank what you. I was trying to make the point as far as the mayor's question of timing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with having a conversation at a future date about and having staff come to us with some options or giving them time to how this money, if we decide to go that route, would be best used. And then we can make that decision when we come to it. I don't know.
All right, so again, next meeting, we will have a portion. I don't know if we'll have the entire time really dedicated to our budget discussion. There are still things on our pending list that we have to tend to, but I guess the question is for staff, next meeting, if let's say the council wanted to go down by $500,000, Do we have to identify a project? Because the next meeting, which is the 5th of May, March.
I think what we need from you tonight is direction on how to prepare the action item for the maximum levy. Do you want that at the staff recommended 1543, or would you like us to put that at the what's been thrown out here is not incorporating that 20 cents? To leave it flexible for you so that you can make that decision down the road. So it's really what do you want to advertise to the public as your maximum rate?
By next meeting, or you need us to leave this meeting?
Well, we're going to have to prepare that action. Right. Does that come in? It's not a resolution. We just need that informal direction. Okay, so we would just need informal direction from you at your next meeting on what you want that to be. So we don't have to prepare anything. I take that back. I'm sorry. So you can handle this discussion any way you want. You could finish it now and close it, or you could have staff prepare a memo on some options and carry it on to your next work session. That's complete. Either one is okay with us.
The latter sounds good to me, but I don't know how everybody else is feeling. I'm just one guy.
Yeah, I can agree to the latter, mm-hmm. and we'll go with the latter, and we will.
What was the latter?
I'm sorry. That we're going to have the conversation about options.
Sure.
And then make a determination
at the
to
next meeting.
Guide
okay.
staff.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before we adjourn, I have one. I think very short question.
Okay.
Item 4 on the discussion is funds allocated to public infrastructure and facilities. I really don't know what debate we were having on that particular issue.
My recollection, and it could have been foggy at that point in the afternoon, was that you wanted to discuss whether to incorporate a facilities master plan okay. using those funds or not.
Okay. And we'll come back to that. All right. We're going to save council updates, boards, commissions, and committees at the end of our formal meeting. At this time, I'm going to adjourn this meeting and see you back here at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.